Today's shir is Masech Yevamos Daf Yudalad, and we're going to begin in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. What we're going to do just quickly is review the last few lines of Gemara that we learned in the previous shir, because we really didn't define them properly, just to explain them quickly again. As we learned, and we'll continue learning in today's shir, Be'ezer Hashem, Beis Shammai hold that a tsaris erva, unlike Beis Hillel, unlike we've been learning since we began the Masechta, we learned that erva and hatsara are exempt from yibam chalitza. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, holds that a tsaris erva is not exempt. And Rava explains the reasoning from Beis Shammai. Rava matamai de Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai holds enes achal al eser. And as the Gemara explains, tenech de nos samai meis. Again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon married a woman. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and they're married to sisters. Reuven is married to Rachel, and Shimon is married to Levi. So Shimon first married Leah, who is Rachel's sister, and she became an achos isha. Vakach nosachai, and then, on the contrary, she became an eshes ach. Tenech teich de nosam mes. So when Shimon married Leah, she became a sister-in-law to Reuven. Vakach nosachai, and then Reuven married Rachel. Lo iser achos isha. So the fact that she's an achos isha is not effective. V'chayel iser eshes ach, because we say ein isachal alisa. She's only considered an eshes ach. So if she's considered an eshes ach, hatzara is not a tzara of an erva, because an eshes ach is not an erva. Ella, what's going to be the case? Nosachai, the first Reuven married Rachel, vakach noch someis, and then Shimon married Leah. So achos isha kodem. So first Leah became Reuven's achos isha, and then only afterwards she became an eshes ach. Kim doy os isha eshes ach v'chayel is achos isha. So the halacha does not recognize her as an eshes ach, because ein is achal aliser. Havelay tsaras erva. So Leah, the other wife that Shimon has, let's say Chana, is to Leah just like a tzoris erva, but not a tzor eshes ach. Someone who's a tzoris erva, not by an eshes ach, shloi b'mokim mitzvah, as we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, Sharia, there is no din of evil. So as we continue learning, Beis Shammai holds that the chalitza of a tzora is a required chalitza, and as we learned in the many times already, a chalutza, a woman who underwent chalitza, may not marry a kohen. According to Beis Hillel, there's no requirement of chalitza, so even if they should go through having chalitza, it's actually a meaningless act. Chaltzu, Beis Shammai paislim, Beis Shammai say that this woman would be disqualified to marry a kohen, and Beis Hillel would say no, because it's not really a chalitza. That's not pshita. The Mishnah hasn't taught me anything that's not obvious. Answers the Gemara of Fukid Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. The point of the Mishnah is to teach us that we don't follow what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri teaches us on the bottom of Yudalar Mabeis. Dama Bom and Sakalam of Tsaris, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri suggested he wanted to make a compromise. He wanted to make peace between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, Tsaris Erva is a full-fledged Javoma. She's a candidate for Yibim and Chalitza. According to Beis Hillel, she's totally disqualified. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri wanted to suggest that they should make a compromise and everybody should agree that she should have Chalitza. So according to Beis Shammai, she has chalitza. And according to Beis Hillel, just to make peace, we should have chalitza. So that chalitza would be a required chalitza. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri wanted to suggest, and then she should be considered chalitza and be disqualified from a kohen. Kosh mashmalon, the Beis Hillel machshir and Beis Hillel do not agree with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's suggestion, and there's no reason to make chalitza at all. And we'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's shir. The Mishnah continued saying, Nisyabmu, if the Tsaris Erva had relations with her brother-in-law, Beis Hillel paislim, Beis Hillel disqualify her and her children from such a relations because she's an Eishes Ach. According to Beis Shammai, it's perfectly fine. Ask the Gemara, Hasulamali. Again, why does the Mishnah need to tell us this? Answers the Gemara, either the Tanuch Chaltzu, since the previous, as we just learned, Mishnah taught us what's the halach if they did chalitza, so the Mishnah also goes through and tells us Tana Nami Mishyambu what is the halachic status if she has yibam. We begin now the sugya of Lois Gaidudu. Maseskaydu, as we will learn, Mitzvah Shem, reflects that we have to be careful not to have machloikis in din, that we have to have consistency in Klal Yisrael on how we do mitzvahs and what we do and what we don't do. There's a very fundamental machloikis, Rishonim, and what is the concept behind Maseskaydu? The Rif, the Rosh, learned the concern of Maseskaydu is that we don't want to have two Torahs. We only want to have one Torah. Rambam and Ramah learned that the concern of Leis Tzkaidu is to avoid Machloikis Klaisol. We don't want to have Klaisol broken down into factions. There are halachic nafkaminis between these two approaches. According to Riff and the Rosh, if we don't want to have two Torahs, it makes no difference if the people who are doing this live in different places. The Torah is the same Torah. And therefore, there are no boundaries to limit this concern. On the other hand, if it's an issue of minig, so then it's only relevant to certain places, because every place is entitled to have its own minhagim. What's the proof that the Ramah holds like the Rambam? The proof is by Hilchos Sfiras Ha'Omer. We know that there are two minhagim for Sfiras Ha'Omer. One minig is that people don't shave from Pesach until Lag Ba'Omer. Another minig is they begin Rosh Chodesh Iyar till Erev Shavuos, and Lag Ba'Omer, the lot of shave. Says the Ramah that in one city, again, it was different in those times. Now we don't live in a community that everybody is homogeneous. But in those times when we had kehilos, says the Ramah, one kehila, one city should not have some people keeping one minig and other people keeping another minig. So we clearly see that the Ramah says that the issue of Lo Yisuskaydu refers to even minhagim. There's an interesting marishdam. It's worth repeating because it opens up our eyes somewhat to the halachas of Lois Tzkaidu. The marishdam asks a question. He says, the Gemara says, Masech the Sukkah. And we know that the Dalamina may be taken even on Shabbos if it's the first day Yontif in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, that now that we know that in Chutz Lartz, they weren't Bekiyah, Mekviyah, the Yach, they don't really know when Yontif is. That's why we keep 2 days Yontif in Chutz Lartz. So even in Yerushalayim, they should not take the Dalam Minim on Shabbos. We shouldn't have two Minhagim. Yerushalayim, and Chutz Lartz are two different places. And that Gemara is referring to the time after the Churban, says the Marashdam, two reasons why Chazal made this Kseir. One reason is interesting, because there were still many people, even after the Churban Abayis, that would still go up to Eretz Yisrael, or like try to go up to Yerushalayim for Yontif. So let's say this year Sukkot is on Shabbos, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and I see everybody taking the Dal Minim. Next year I don't make it to Eretz Yisrael, and I'll think that you take the Dal Minim on Shabbos, on Sukkot, if the first day is Shabbos. So to avoid that problem, Chazal said everywhere they should not take the Dal Minim on the first day Sukkot. But then there's another reason given, which the Marashdam explains. He says, when something is so prevalent, something so populate, like the Dal Minim, even if it's two different places, we have to begin concerned for the consistency of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Lecha Mishnah asks, if that's the concern, then we should have even ask a more fundamental question. Why in Chutz Lartz we keep 2 days Yontif, and at Sod they keep 1 day Yontif? Isn't that a tremendous difference? So he says that truthfully, Chiddush the Lecha Mishnah says, truthfully they should have made even Eretz Yisrael 2 days Yontif. But that would mean making Yontif on a day which is not Yontif. Chazal didn't want to do that in Eretz Yisrael. But what we see from here, what we're trying to bring out from the Marashdam, is that Lois Tzkaidu has different degrees. Because when we start thinking about Lois Tzkaidu, there's a fundamental question, very fundamental question. If Lois Tzkaidu means that we have to try to keep consistency, then how do we learn Shas? Every Amud of Shas has a Machloikis. Lois Tzkaidu. So Lois Tzkaidu doesn't mean to quench debate. Lois Tzkaidu doesn't mean that we're not allowed to have Machloikis. Lois Tzkaidu means that there has to be consistency in Klal Yisrael, and depending on the subject, Chazal tells when consistency is required, and as I said, that's the sugya we're going to begin. There's a beautiful mashal given by the Sefri to help us understand the concept of Lois Tzkaidu. He says, the Pasuk says, Habayna Bashmaim El Yosef Vagudosai El Eretz Yisoda. He says a mashal. There were two ships that were connected, and someone decided to build a palace over these two connected ships. The palace can be the most beautiful palace. What will happen if somebody disconnects these two ships? Palace collapses. We in this world are keeping the palace and Shamayim Kavayochel together. Habayna b'shamayim el yosef. We're building a castle in the sky. But the castle in the sky is based on gudosai al eretz yisoda. If the people here in this world are kept together, if there isn't that unity, then we can't build the palace b'shamayim. Tanan hasam. The Mishnah says in Masecht Megillah. Megillah nekras b'echad asa b'shneim asa b'shleis asa b'ab asa b'chamish asa. Megillah is read either the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar, like Pachas no earlier, v'lo yoyser, v'lo no later. So as we know, the 14th day is Purim for the cities that don't have a wall, the 15th day of Purim is the city for the cities that do have a wall, and 11th, 12th, and 13th, as we began when we learned the Masechta Megillah, the people from the villages would come to the city to prepare food for them, and that's why if those days were Monday, Thursday, those were the days that they came, we allow them to read the Megillah on those earlier dates. Amalei Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Rish Lakish asks Rav Yochanan, if we can, why don't we have a problem over here? Loisus go to do. Loisasu agudas agudas. We shouldn't break Klai Yisrael into groups. And again, here we have a machlokes how to understand the question. Certainly the Gemara's question is referring to the 14th and 15th day of Adar. How do we divide Purim into 2 days? But if we say that Loisus go to do even applies to Minhagim, so the question is, how did Chazal make a minig that we should read the Megillah even possibly on 11, 12, and 13 day of Adar? Isn't that Loisus got to do? So he said, Hi Loisus got to do, Mibay Leila Gufay. We need this pasuk for Loisus got to do to tell us a different thing. Dom Rachmana, the Torah says, Bonim Atem L'Hashem L'Keichem, that Loisus got to do, V'Loisus Simu Korcha Be'in Nechon L'Meis. The pasuk is coming to teach us, if somebody loses a relative, he's not allowed to make a cut in his body. I, Tosfos, asks, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that when Rabbi Eleazar passed away, Rabbi Akiva hid himself until he was bleeding. So Tosfos says two terutzim. The Isser is specifically to make a cut. Rabbi Akiva didn't make a cut. He just hid himself, and that caused bleeding. Another Terutz Tosfos says, what the Torah means to say is one now ought to cut himself over grief over a person who passed away. But Rabbi Akiva wasn't grieving over a person. He was grieving over the Torah. That is permissible. So he says, that's what the Pasuk is saying. Has nothing to do with Loisus Goy to do. Answers the Gemara, in Kein Lemekro Loisus Goy to do. If that's all what the Torah meant, it should have said Loisus Goy to do. My Loisus Goy to do. Shema mino lohochi da'asa. It's coming to tell us that we're not allowed to have this factionalism in Klai Yisrael. So now I ask the Gemara on the other side. Maybe all the Pasuk is just teaching us is Lois Sasa Agudas Agudas. Answers the Gemara, Im Kein Leim Akra, Lois Agaydu. So it would be enough that the Pasuk should say Lois Agaydu. My Lois is Goydu do, Shmami not Tarti. We learn two dinim from here. One din is that a person is not allowed to cut himself in grief. And up din is Lois Sasa Agudas Agudas. And I saw the Maral explains, because really, they both refer to the same concept. A person is supposed to keep his body whole, not cut his body. And a person, we're also supposed to try to keep Klal Yisrael whole. And so we have the Yochid and the Tzibur. Another pshat that I saw from the Yisrach Moshe is that the Pasuk begins with the words Bonim. He says, what's the Pasuk starts, Bonim Atam Hashem Elokeichem. So Yisrach Moshe says, what's the difference? Well, we're called Bonim and we're called Avodim. Says the Yisrach Moshe, Avodim refers to individuals. Bonim refers to the group. Bonim Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem. You know when you're considered God's children, not just His servants, when you are L'Sasa Agudas Agudas, when you're in unity. So he says, Amalei, Ad Kan Shloish Nisu, didn't you learn the Mishnah that says in Masecht Pesachim? Mishnah says, Mokum Shnas Las Moloch Be'er Pesachim Ant Chatzois Oisim. In some place there was a minig not to do work in Erev Pesach till Chatzos. Makom shenagu shloi lasis. In some places there was a minig that didn't do melacha. Ein oisa. So we see already that they didn't follow the same minig everywhere. Amalei, so he tells them back. Amina lachasura. I asked you a question from Purim, where the din is that these people should read on Yud Aleph, these people should read on Tezvav. Domer Rav Shemin ba'aba, Omer Rav Yochanan, l'kayim es himei ha'purim b'zmaneim, zmanim harbe tiklam chachamim, Chazal were misakin specific dates when the Megillah should be read. Va'at amutli minhagim, and you're going to bring me a question from a minig, especially according to the Rishonim that learn that l'esuskari duz by an isser, so how does the Gemara prefer to ask a question from a minig to an isser? Says the Gemara, v'hosam lavisurahi, are you saying the issue of working in Erev Pesach is just a minig? It's not an isser? V'tanan, there's another Mishnah in that parak. The Mishnah says, b'shama ois, b'layla, what about the night of Erev Pesach? B'shama oisrim, or b'shil matirim. So we see working on Erev Pesach is not just an issue of a minig. It's an issue of an isser. So our question comes back. If there's a din of loisus going to do, how could some people work Erev Pesach and other people not? Amalei, so he says from there it's not a proof. Hosam haroi oim malachim hu delesle. When somebody sees me now working in Erev Pesach, doesn't mean that I have a minig not to work and you have a minig to work. I don't have a job today. I'm out of a job. I took a vacation day. Whatever. Therefore, it's not obvious that we're following different menhagim. In fact, the Magen Avraham, using this Gemara, asks a question on the Ramah. He says, the Ramah said that we have a problem, as we said earlier, by Sfiras HaOmer, that some people shave, and some people won't shave. Why won't say the people didn't shave? He wasn't in the mood of shaving today. That's the Magen Avraham's kasha. Answers the Magen Avraham. From here, the Magen Avraham, based on that kasha, says it's a proof that this teretz isn't to be followed. Others say you can't compare one day Pesach to a whole series of Sfira. Beautiful teretz. Erev Pesach, one person's working, one person's not working. It took a day off. If you look at these two people, how they're keeping the 7 weeks of Sfira, we don't just look at the one day of the Sfira. We look at the entire unit of the 7 weeks. You shaved on these days and not on those days. I shaved on these days and not those days. There's obviously something that's not working together. That's why the Ramah is correct in saying that's a concern of Lo Yisrael got to do. Ask the Gemara, what about our Mishnah? For Beshame Matirna Tzoris La'achim. Beshame said that Tzoris, there is no issue of Tzoris Erva, and the brothers may marry her. Or Beisela Oisrim. Why don't we have a problem Lo Yisrael got to do? Answers the Gemara. Mi Savit, also Beshame Kedavreim. Do you really believe that Beshame follow their position? Loy asu b'shamay k'dvarim. B'shamay really, even though they felt that there's no concern of tzaras erva, they didn't follow that position. Rabbi Yochanan asu. They certainly followed it. There's no pshat in what is asu v'asu. One pshat is just to indicate, to emphasize that they certainly followed their position. Another pshat is asu v'asu, that they followed it both b'tzina privately or b'faresia publicly. Another pshat that I saw is they followed their position whether it was l'kula or l'chumra, asu v'asu. And the fourth pshat is asu, they followed their position, v'asu, and they told other people to follow their position. Says the Gemara, and this is actually plukted Rav Shmuel, it's machlokes of Rav Shmuel. The Rav Amaloi asu b'shamay k'dvarim. B'shamay says the b'shamay did not follow their position. V'shmuel ama asu v'asu. Ask the Gemara, Amos, exactly at what point was this machlokes said? Ilay m'koydim baskol, if it was before the Baskel came out and said, Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, behalochas k'bei Shammai. So then the question is, Ma'atam d'lo asu. If there was no announcement yet made that we don't follow Beis Shammai, we always follow Beis Hillel, why didn't Beis Shammai follow their own position? And as the Rishonim asked, maybe they didn't follow position because of Lo Yisrael to do. So they said, that can't be a reason that they didn't follow their position. Because, yes, Lo Yisrael to do says we shouldn't argue. But why did Beis Shammai capitulate to Beis Hillel? Maybe Beis Hillel should capitulate to Beis Shammai. Elo la'ache baskol. It was after the baskol. But if that's the case, that the baskol already made an announcement that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel, my time of the mandam ma'asu. So how can we explain that Beis Shammai continue following their own position? Says the Gemara, Ibai Yisrael Mekoyin baskol. We can explain the Gemara that was before the baskol made the announcement that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Vibai Yisrael Mekoyin baskol. We can explain this machloikus after the baskoil made the announcement. Ibois aim koin baskoil, even though the announcement was made, kigoin Beis Hillel Ruba. Beis Hillel still represented the majority. Slumanda maloy asu, According to Man, the Beis Shammai did not follow the opinion of the Beis Hillel Ruba. Beis Hillel is the majority, and majority rules. Or Man, the Ma'asa. If majority rules, why did Beis Shammai continue following their own position? They held, this Man, the Ma'asa holds, the Beis Shammai held, Ki Azlin and Beis Ruba, when do we follow the majority? Heiched the Chiyadadi Ninu. When the both groups are the same, same qualitatively. Hocha, however, Beis Shammai mechad ditvei, even though quantitatively they were less, the halacha is they felt that you follow the people who are sharper. So here we have, asked the Ramban, b'chiddush. The Torah says, achi rab melhatas, we always follow the majority. And here we're starting to say there's new factors. So the Ramban says, the when do we follow the majority? When we're sitting in one Sanhedrin, we're sitting in one Bezdin, there we follow the majority. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel weren't the one Bezdin. That's why Beis Shammai says we follow the people who are sharper, even though they don't represent the majority. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says, halach l'maisa, we always follow the majority. Even if the other group is sharper. And he says, that's what the Baskel actually taught us. The Baskel taught us that we always follow the majority, no matter what. The Chinuch disagrees. And the Chinuch says that we actually follow the one that's sharper. And that's why Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and really the Arizal says it, that we know when Mashiach comes, the Arizal says, we're going to follow Beis Shammai's opinion. We know normally we always follow Beis Hillel's opinion. When Mashiach comes, we're going to follow Beis Shammai's opinion. Why? Because they were mechudadim. They were very sharp. In this world, before Mashiach comes, we don't have the intellectual ability to understand Beis Shammai's position. That's why we follow Beis Hillel's position. But when Mashiach comes, Umola Oretz Deos Hashem, we'll follow Beis Shammai's position. In fact, I saw that this Gemara, this halacha that we're just discussing, is very relevant. L'alacha l'maisa. We know that we always follow Roiv, as we just said. Let's say there are three pieces of meat. And we know that two of them are kosher, and one is not. But we don't know which is which. We follow Roiv. But let's say the two pieces that are not such nice pieces, and one piece is a nice big piece of meat. Do we still follow Roiv? Or do we say, since this piece of meat is so much more qualitatively than the other two, perhaps we shouldn't? It's a shout that the Beis HaOitzer asks. Similarly, I saw, this is a somewhat of a controversial shaila. Let's say there's a community, a shul, that's having a meeting. So do we follow the democratic model, that everybody gets one vote? Or, let's say there's a person in the shul, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a very distinguished person. And there are other people who are not of that stature. Does everybody get the same voice, and everybody get the same vote? Perhaps that person's Mechudadim, and we should follow what he says. V'bay Seima, Lacha Baskol. This Machlekes took place after the Baskol was announced. Madam Meloy also, according to Madam, the Beis Shammai did not follow their opinion. The Nafka Baskol. The Baskol came out and said that don't follow Beis Hillel. Umandam Asu, the Beis Shammai continued following their position. It's going contra Yeshua, Dama Emash Gichme Baskol. Famous Gemara Masechta Metzia, where the Gemara says they had a machloikis about the status of the Tanuroi Shlachnoi, a certain oven if it was Tamei Tar, and Rabbi Lezer argued with the Chachamim, and a Baskol came out and said the Halachas like Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Yeshua got up and said, Loi B'Shemayim Hi. So the question is, how come there we don't follow the Baskel, and here a Mandarman suggests we do? So two answers. One answer is that Baskel only came out in the honor of Elezer, not to say that that's really the halacha. Another Teretz is, there Elezer represented the minority view. So Baskel cannot make the minority be the majority. Here, Beis Hillel do represent the majority, so the Baskel could be a proof that that should be the halacha. Ask the Gemara, Umandam also according to Umandam that says the Beis Shammai did continue following their opinion. Karin and Khan Loisus Gaidudu. How could they continue following their opinion? Isn't this a problem Loisus Gaidudu? Amar Abaya answers Abaya. Kamrin Loisus Gaidudu. When is there concern of Loisus Gaidudu? Kigon Shtei Bati Dinam Birachas. If there are two different Bati Dinam in one city. Halolu Mayrim Kedivri Beis Shammai. One group holds like the Beis Shammai. Another one says like Beis Hillel. Avol shtei bati dinim b'shtei yaris. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara wants to suggest, are two different cities, less lambat. There's no problem of Lois Skoy to do. And the Mashag makes an interesting observation. He says the Gemara is now referring to Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel had to follow their own opinion. Because if somebody came to that opinion on his own, given that he has the credentials to, he follows his opinion. He bases it on the Rishonim. The here the discussion is on the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. What do the followers of Shammai do? What do the followers of Hillel do? Amalei Rav asks Rava, for Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, about the dinner Be'ir Achas Dami. And if you're saying in one city we have to have consistency, how can we allow this machlokes? Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says a different explanation. When there's a problem of loisus going to do? Ki amir loisus going to do? When is there a problem of loisus going to do? Ki going bezdin Be'ir Achas. We have one bezdin in one city. Plag Moirin Kedivri Beis Shammai. Half of the bezdin paskins like Beis Shammai. U plag Moirin Kedivri Beis Hillel. And half follows Beis Hillel. That's a problem of loisus going to do. Avil shtei batidinim bar achas, two batidinim, but they're two separate batidinim, even though they're in one city, less lombard, there's no problem of loisus going to do. So now let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. What about Purim? So the 14th and the 15th are not a problem, because they represent two different cities. And now we said two different cities, no loisus going to do. But now ask Taisvis, but the people from 11th, 12th, and 13th, the people from the villages read in the city. So why is there no problem of loisus going to do? So according to the man d'omer that there's no problem of loisus going to do by a minig, it's not a question. But even according to the man d'omer that say we do say loisus going to do, which is really the way we paskin, even by menhagim, Taisus says a chiddush that the people of the villages did not read it in the city; they read it in their village. So it's two separate places. Another teretz is that the people of the villages did not have to read it in those days. When would there be a problem of loisus going to do? If these people have to read it on 11th, 12th, 13th, and these people have to read it on the 14th. So now we have a problem of loisus going to do. The people of the villages don't have to read it on 11th, 12th, 13th. Chazal gave them a dispensation that if they want, they may. Therefore, it's not considered loisus going to do. Toshma. Says the Gemara, there's a fundamental machlokes, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Kiva. We know, Ubiyoy Mashmini, Yima Basar Alasai, a bris milah, if the eighth day is on Shabbos, is made on Shabbos. But what about, let's say you need a knife to prepare, to do the milah? Are you allowed to make the knife on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, B'shemekamishar B'lezah, are you karsim, eitzim, lasas, p'cham, b'shabbos? They used to cut wood to make coals. Lasas, p'cham, lasas, basil, to make a knife on Shabbos. Similarly, another machlokes. They ate poultry with milk. Why? Because he held. When is there an isra basa b'chalav? Only when the mother could have milk. Fowl doesn't have milk. Only in Rabbi Lezer's place did they make did they do knives on Shabbos. But not where Rabbi Kiva lived. The Tanya. Klal Amr Bekiva says, Kol Malacha She'ef Shal Asoyis Me'Erev Shabbos, anything that can be done Erev Shabbos, preparing the knife could have been done Erev Shabbos, Ein Adoichus of Shabbos. So we have a problem Loisus got to do. Rebbe Kiva's place, they don't make a knife on Shabbos. Rebbe Lezer's place, they do. And Taisus goes a step further. Taisus says that where Rebbe Lezer lived, not only did he hold that you're allowed to make a knife, they went out of their way to make the knife in Shabbos to show chiv of mitzvah, how much they love the mitzvah mila. Ay, there's a problem loisus going to do. Ask the Gemara, v'hai mai tiyufta. What's the Gemara's question? Mekaymus v'kaymushani. We just said that two different locales, there is no problem of loisus going to do. So this is Rebbe Lezer's city, this is Rebbe Kiva's city. What's the Gemara's question? It's no problem. And in fact, the Gemara asks, oh, the karli, my karli, what was the Gemara's havimina that it should be a problem of loisus going to do? Answers the Gemara, Sakadat Chamina, Mishum Chum de Shabbos, since Hilcha Shabbos are so serious, I perhaps should say, Kemaka Machadami, all of Klai Yisrael, wherever they live, should be considered one city, and therefore we should have a problem of Loisus got to do, Kamash Malan, that if it's two separate cities, even when it refers to Hilcha Shabbos, there's no problem of Loisus got to do. Continues the Gemara, Tashma, the Ravua, Ki ikul asri de Bishum and Levi, when a Vu would come to a Bishum and Levi's city, have metaltel shaga, he would carry in a candlestick. He did not consider a candlestick even if it was lit for that Shabbos, but not a fire, the candle burnt out, he did not consider it muksa. However, when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's city, he refused to carry a candlestick. So it's like this guy to do. Here he does, here he doesn't. So Tysus asked, you know, what's the proof it's like to do? Maybe he didn't carry it because he didn't need to. Like we said before, maybe he didn't do work because he had no job. So Tysus answers, no, it wasn't just where he didn't need to carry a candlestick. Even let's say a candlestick fell on his coat. So he certainly wants to take it off. He still didn't carry it. It's like this to do. And this is what Tysus Shanim explains to Gemara. Here he's acting this way. There he's acting that way. Says the Mara, v'hai my kosher. Again, what is the question? V'loya minin, haven't we said, mekaymus mekaymushani, there is no problem of lois going to do in different cities. So if just in this city he could act this way, in another city he could act in another way. Says the Gemara, anan hochi kremrin. What the Gemara means to ask is as follow. Rev avua hechi avid hochi, hechi avid hochi, why do you act in one city this way? V'hechi avid hochi hochi. And why do you act in another city differently? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Vu, Rabbi Shub and Levi Sfirli. Rabbi Vu really had like Rabbi Shub and Levi that we don't have an issue of muksa. However, the Kimikl asked Rabbi Yochanan, but when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's city, Laiv Metatl, he didn't carry Mishim Kfoidid Rabbi Yochanan. Out of respect to Rabbi Yochanan, halachically he held it's not muksa. He just wanted to show to Rabbi Yochanan. Bavik asked the Gemara, so that was his thinking. Vikashama, but he had an attendant. The attendant is obviously not a Talmud Chacham. And the attendant will not understand all of his thinking. And the attendant, this is again what the Tosfos Rishonim say, will now start to think that you can act differently in different places. And we have a problem with Loisus Kar to do. So he says, the Maidel Lelisham, he explained to the attendant what was his thinking, that he really held it's not Muksa, and he was only doing it out of honor to Rabbi Yeshua, to Rabbi Yochanan. Tana Toshma, we go back to our Mishnah. Abish El Oysim Ve'el Matirim, even though Beisham and Beis Hillel have very fundamental disagreement about its Tzoras Erva, according to Beis Hillel, they're not allowed to live with the brothers of the deceased. According to Beis Hillel, Beisham and Emar, Loi Nimnu Beisham and Belis and Noshim Beis Hillel, the people from Beisham married into Beis Hillel's family, Vloi Beis Hillel Be Misham, and they married to each other. Says the Gemara, if we say that Beishami did not follow their opinion, so they all had a consistent approach. That's why we could understand that they didn't refrain from marrying into each other's family. If we say that Beishami continues following their opinion, Beis Hillel continued following their opinion, why don't they refrain from marrying each other? And the Gemara explains the question deeper. Bisham Beshame Beis Hillel Loi Nimnu. Beshame didn't refrain from marrying people from Beis Hillel's, the fellow Beis Hillel's position. The Bnei Chai V'Lav Ninnu. According to Beshame, this woman should have had Chalitza Yivam, the Tzaras Erva. If she didn't, and instead of marrying or having Chalitza, she went and married somebody from the street, what was she over? It's a Chi V'Lav. A chiv lav doesn't, if there's a marriage between people who shouldn't get married and the aveira is only a lav, we've said this many times, the children are not affected. And that's why I could understand why Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying people from the follow Beis Hillel's opinion. Asked Gemara, however, al Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai Mailoi Nimnu, according to Beis Shammai, the Tzaras Erva has Yivam, but she's not allowed to have Yivam, she's a sister-in-law. Living with a sister-in-law is a chiv kares. The children from that union are mamzerim. B'nei chai v'kris is mamzerim ninu. So how could Beis Hillel refrain, marry into Beis Shammai? And like Taisha says, why are we focusing on the children? Why are we not focused on the actual tzara? So Taisha answers beautifully. The tzara is only one person. Moreover, the Rishonim say, everybody knows the status of the woman. But she could have many, many children and many descendants from a marriage that shouldn't have taken place. So we're focusing on the children. V'chi tema, on you want to perhaps say, the kasavi Beis Hillel, the ein mamza mechai v'krisus, so there is no concern of mamzeris. V'am Rabbi Loza says clearly not like that. Because al pish nechel ku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but soros, even though they disagree about what is the status of a tzara. They agree, Maidim Shem Mamza El Mishu Suris Erva Vernish Karis. So how could they still marry women from the fellow of Beishamai? We potentially have children that are real Mamzerim. Elav, it must be a proof. Shmamin Elayasu, the Beishamai did not follow their opinion, and that's why Beisil did not have to refrain from marrying people that followed from Beishamai. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. Loi. La'olam asu. Beishamai continue following their opinion. Aye, so how did Beishilo get married? The Moidel Hu Parshi. Beishamai, if there was a situation that there was a marriage, for example, a Tzoris Erva, that according to Beishilo, that's a Chai Vekrisis. According to Beishamai, it's a mitzvah. Beishamai would notify Beishilo, you should know this is the status of this family, this is not a family for you. And the Mefarshim explain, even though we always have a concept of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelazer, Lifnei Evil Sita Mirshal, that's only if I consider something an Aveira. Here, Beishamai didn't consider it an Aveira. So halachically, according to their opinion, they're not required to tell Beis Hillel there's a problem here. But in order, and we'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem on Amid Beis, to keep the peace, so to speak, they went out of the way to tell Beis Hillel, this is a family that's not for you. And moreover, the Rishonim point out, Beis Hillel could be comfortable and safe in their knowing that Beis Shammai will notify them. So if they want to get into a family, they don't have to ask. Every family is fine. Because there's a problem with the family, they don't have to wait to ask and get an answer. Beis Shammai on their own will volunteer the information telling them, this is not for you. Says the Gemara, V'chanayim Mestabra. And this makes sense as the way to understand Pshat in the Mishnah. The Tani Seifa, Mishnah continued teaching us, Kol HaTaris V'Kol HaTamemis Shoyal Eilim HaTarim V'Eilim HaTamim. Again, we had machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Sometimes Beis Shammai said something is Tar, and Beis Hillel said something is Tamei. Still, Leinim Tar, Oisim Taris Eilu Gaba Eilu. They continued to use each other's vessels and utensils. Says the Gemara, Iyam B'Shlama, the Maidelahu, that one informed the other of the status. They didn't have to refrain, because if there's a problem, we'll notify you. Eli Amrit Eloi Maidelahu, if we're going to say they didn't notify them, Bishlam Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Lo Nimnu. I could understand why Beis Shammai didn't refrain from using Beis Hillel's utensils. The Tamei is to Beis Hillel. If something is Tamei according to Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai Taris. So the worst is that maybe Beis Shammai really holds its Tar and Beis Hillel holds its Tamei. No, nothing lost. El Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Lom Lo Nimnu Taris to Beis Shammai. Things that Beis Shammai consider Tar the Beis Hillel Tameis Ninhu. According to Beis Hillel Tamei, how could Beis Hillel use Beis Shammai's kelim? Elalav, it must be the Maidelahu, that they notified them that if there was a keli, that even though Beis Shammai held with Tor, they notified Beis Hillel, this is not for you. Shmamino. Ask the Gemara, Umay Omer Dehach Mehach. Our Mishnah gave us two examples that actually teach us the exact same concept. That by Tzoris, Beis Shammai notified Beis Hillel which families are not for them. And by Kalim, Beis Shammai notified them which Kalim are not for them. So why do we have to say the same concept twice? Answers the Gemara. Ma'ad Tema, Sora, like we know, the situation of Yibum should never happen. It's a very rare occurrence. And if it happens, colorlessly, everybody's talking, everybody knows. Kalim, vessels, spoons, forks, knives, everybody has them. So nobody's really that familiar about Tumah Tahara. So maybe over there, we're not going to be so comfortable in believing that Beis Shammai is going to notify Beis Hillel, Kamash Malon, that we can be comfortable in knowing that they're going to notify them. Gufa, Amr Belazar, Af Beish Nechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'tzareis, even though this Gemara, we had this in the Gemara on the bottom of Amr Aleph, they argued about the status of a Tzareis Erva, Maidim, they both agree, She'ein Mamza Elami She'isur Es Erva. A mamzer is only going to be produced from a union that is Issachiv Karis. Says the Gemara, Rav Elazar used the Lashon Moidim. One agreed. Who's the one that agreed? Mam Moidim. Eilayim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Pshita B'nei Chayiv Elavin K'sherim Ninu. According to them, the Isser between a Tzaris Erva and Hayavam and getting married to someone else, according to Beis Hillel, the Tzaris Erva doesn't have Yibam. the tzaras ever marries somebody, a stranger, but that's only chiv alav. Ela beshil beshamai. He gufa chiv krisasi. That's the case that we're discussing. Answers the Gemara. Loyal and beshamil beshil. It was beshamai they agreed to beshil. That in the case with a person who they consider a chayv lav, the tsaras erva, gets married to somebody else, there is no iser, there is no mamzer. Ulefukim Rebbe Kiva is coming to tell us that beshamai and beshil do not agree with Rebbe Kiva, who Rebbe Kiva holds, the Omar, yesh mamzer mechayv lavin. So according to Rebbe Kiva, the case that beshamai discusses, a tsaras erva getting married to someone not hayavam, according to Rebbe Kiva, if they got married, if this woman never had yibum or chalitza, the children would be mamzerim. Kamash malon, the ein mamzer mechayv lavin. Both beshamai and beshil do not agree with Rebbe Kiva. Ask the Gemara, that's obvious. What's the chiddush? So the chiddush is that perhaps we would say that when does Rebbe Kiva say his din? Only by the two types of ervis. There's an erva that's a relative, and there's an erva that's not a relative. A yavama that marries someone besides her yavam is not a relative. The is a chayv alavim, but not because of share, not because of relations. So perhaps even Rebbe Kiva should maybe agree that that won't be a mamzer. Teaches us the Gemara that it is indeed a mamzer, but Beisham and Beisil do not agree with Rebbe Kiva, who holds that they are mamzer. Just to speak a moment, a little about Halach Lemaisa and Lois Uskaidudu. There's a very interesting tshuva comes up from the Meshiv Dover, from the Netziv, regarding if a person davens Nusach Sfard, and he comes to a shul that davens Nusach Ashkenaz, or vice versa, what should he do? Because we have a clear situation of Lois Uskaidudu, especially if we hold Lois Uskaidudu affects Minhagim. So Meshiv Dover says that a person should, whatever is said out loud, like Kedusha, a person should say according to the Minig Hamakim. Whatever is said low, like Shimon Esrei, silently, you should follow your own Minig. Ramayisha discusses what's going to be the Halacha and Psukah de Zimra. Psukah de Zimra should really not be said silently, but it's not said very loud. It's not like Kedusha. So Ramayisha seems to say that if a person is not bothered, you should follow the minig hamakim. If it bothers you that your minig is always to follow a specific minig, so what he says you should do by Psukah de Zimra is follow your minig, but be careful to daven silently, not to make a problem of Lois Uskaidudu. But I saw a very interesting psak, chiddush. We know when it comes to Sukkos, when we do the nanuim by Hallel, there are differences of minhagim between Nusach Sfarad and Nusach Ashkenaz. So again, the question comes up, this is already something done publicly. Everybody sees everybody else doing the nanuim. So perhaps we should, again, be careful. You should follow the minig hamakim. And there are paiskim that say that. But then I saw paiskim say that since this whole concept of doing nanuim is only a hidden mitzvah, it's not really the requirement. The requirement of the mitzvah is just to take the dalaminim. So since it's only considered a hidden mitzvah, on a hidden mitzvah, there's no issue of loy, so it's got to do loy sasa agudas agudas.
Back.